Don't forget your challenges, if you need a reminder how those work.
Yeah.
That was it. It's two per full game, right?
Correct. Two for the whole game. If you challenge and they get it incorrect, you keep your 10 points. If you challenge and they get it right, they get 15 points.
Okay. And if I get it wrong and they steal, it's how many points?
Five.
Five.
Okay.
He's saying all this for my benefit too, because I can't keep it straight.
It's time to drop the puck on the sports trivia face-off. That's right. You have downloaded Season 2, Episode 10 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. My name is Brent. I will be one of your hosts today. The other host is the lovely and talented Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm going to tell you why. I've been saving this story till we started recording.
Okay.
So my upstairs neighbor, whose dog you have probably heard on this podcast before because it barks all the goddamn time, nice guy, but I don't think he thinks through the consequences of his actions. So my apartment building, there's three people that live in it, three apartments, and there's one parking spot shared among all three of us. Now, the woman who lives in the front parks out front. That's fine. So he and I have equal opportunity. It's first come, first serve parking space out back. He works from home. I have not been able to use my parking space for like 3 weeks. So it sucks. Parking here sucks. Like, it's a residential area. There's a lot of businesses. Street parking's a nightmare. So as I was getting ready, I was heating up lunch, and I look out and I realize his car's gone. I'm in my PJs. I ran outside, I grabbed my car, and I'm in that spot, and I'm not moving in until Monday morning, and I'm excited about it.
Excellent. Well played.
So I'm great. How are you?
I now have a troublesome neighbor of my own. You might hear what sounds like a car accident at some points in the broadcast. The neighbor who doesn't, he moved out of his house and nobody's looking after it, and a big like 8-foot piece of the aluminum soffit has come loose. So it's now blowing in the wind and banging up against the house. And it sounds like someone beating on aluminum siding with a ball peen hammer.
Oh, that sucks.
And it's loud enough to where if it does it during the broadcast, you guys will probably hear it.
I'll trade you a really shitty barking dog.
Well, I already have my own really shitty barking dog that I'm out here escaping.
Touche.
Let's get to our guests, shall we? We have Tucker and we have Marcus. Tucker, this is your first time appearing on the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Yes, introduce yourself, please.
Hey, my name is Tucker. I am a sports writer currently living right outside of Hartford. I am originally from Virginia, so I'm hoping for a category on Michael Vick. Other than that, I've been listening to the show for a long time. Long-time sports fan, obviously, and I'm excited to get started with the trivia.
Is it wrong that I noticed that we went from barking dogs to Michael Vick?
I probably should have segued that somehow.
Where in Virginia are you from?
Fredericksburg.
Oh, right on. That's where the state kind of starts. That's where the Welcome Center is on 95 South. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's where the traffic stops, too. So.
Also true. Nice. Why is Occoquan always backed up?
God, I don't know. I moved before I could figure out the answer, and I lived there for 20 years.
There's nothing there. Okay. Sorry. I'm on a roll today.
That's okay.
Hi, Marcus.
Yo.
Marcus, introduce yourself, please. This is your second appearance on the show, I think.
Yeah. Well, second, because we've had a couple attempts. Anyways, Marcus, I live in Everett, which is just north of Seattle in Washington, and I work at Boeing, and I coach high school football. And, you know, just getting geared up for another disappointing Mariners season. So that's it's exciting.
Now that we know the players, let's go over the rules.
Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer 5 questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. 2 intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there.
Tucker, I'm going to give you the privilege of calling the coin flip. Would you like to call heads or tails?
Let's go with heads.
Hey, Google, flip a coin.
Sure.
Yes.
You got tails.
I miss this.
Tails it is. So, Marcus, you have won the toss. You have the chance to play or defer the first period. The second period will be determined by your choice in the first period, and the third period will be determined by the player trailing will be the first player to go. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
I am.
Let's begin. The categories for Marcus to either pick or pass are goats, there is an I in team, or shin and toe, but it's not about soccer.
So, first of all, the lovely question writer, Ryan, has mentioned that I'm his sports trivia man crush, and that's, I appreciate that, but trying to get inside his head to figure this crap out is so frustrating. So I'm going to defer.
Marcus is going to defer. Tucker, you have your choice between those three categories.
Well, I remember the episode where the options were goats, goats, and goats, but I don't remember which one was which.
Duh.
So, yeah, I will try there is an I in team and hope for the best.
There is an I in team. These are five questions about individual sports, sports where you compete as individuals. Number one, the easiest position in diving sees the diver folding their body into a tight ball with their hands holding their shins and their toes pointed. What is this position called?
Well, great start for me. I do not watch much diving. Tuck and roll sounds like a diving thing. I will say tuck and roll.
Yeah, we'll take that. The answer you gave was tuck.
Okay. I'll thank you for being generous.
No problem.
I hate
everybody
it.
Gets
I
one.
I hate that.
And I'm with you. I don't watch much diving except when I'm watching the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Ooh, shots fired. I'm here for it.
Number two, the modern version of badminton originated in what country while it was occupied by a larger empire?
Did I see this on Jeopardy recently or something along those lines? I think I remember hearing that it was in occupied India during the British Empire of India. So I'll say India.
India is correct for another 10 points. Good thing you watched Jeopardy.
Yeah, got lucky with that one. Okay.
Number three, what American is currently number one in the world golf rankings?
Ooh, this is a tough one. A lot of American golfers was hoping it would be something like Sweden, where it would be a lot easier to narrow down. Let's see. Dustin Johnson's been at the top a lot recently. I think maybe Brooks Koepka has too. Oh, I don't want to give away too many possible answers here in case I'm wrong. Shoot.
You also don't want to mention Brooks Koepka around Aaron.
Oh, is there a rivalry there?
It's not a rivalry. He's got a great ass. It's distracting.
Good for him. Let's see. Yeah, I'll go with DJ, Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson's correct for another 10 points. Ooh. Well done.
Thank you.
Number four, governed by the PDGA. What sport is sometimes called froth?
The PDGA?
Mm-hmm.
Was it? All right, so then I will use their official name with that acronym and say disc golf.
Disc golf is indeed correct. You are 4 for 4. No jinx intended.
Yay, disc golf.
I had never really heard to it referred as disc golf until a couple years ago when a very serious player informed me that frisbee golf is the wrong term. And he seemed mad enough to the point where I was like, okay, disc golf it is. I'm not going to fight you about this.
Frisbee's a trademark, so it's probably a specific thing. And you'll like this because I went to undergrad in Hartford, and there was a course, I forget where it was exactly, but we used to play. We'd go out, you know, sometimes and go play frisbee golf. And we're there one day, and we're toting our little bags, and we're having a good time or whatever. And we see this guy sitting on a picnic table with a six-pack, rolling a joint, just loving life. So, of course, we sit down and talk to him. And we're talking to him for 15, 20 minutes. And we're like, so do you just come out here and hang out? He's like, well, yeah, man, I designed the course, so, like, I like to come out and hang. It's like, I want that job. That seems like the best possible job, because you make a thing that people love, and then you go and get f***ed up and enjoy it.
That's the only way I play golf.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If I'm not drunk when I start, I am when I finish.
I've never played disc golf, but I've always wanted to.
It's really fun. It's an excuse to be outside, but not quite as stressful as regular golf because you're throwing a frisbee around or a disc, excuse me.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, anybody that gets that uppity, I'll intentionally call it frisbee golf after that.
Yeah.
But I was in Texas about a month and a half ago, and I went for the first time, and it was awesome. It was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, drinking and frisbee golf is the best.
It's basically required.
Yeah.
Literally.
They give you a field sobriety test, and if you pass it, you're not allowed to play. Is
that
yeah.
I'd be screwed then. No wonder I've never played it.
Yeah.
Number five. How many points is the pink ball worth in snooker?
Oh, boy. This is a sport I have literally no knowledge or experience with.
There's a pink ball in it.
Yeah, I've got that so far. I think there's one that's brown, maybe two. Other than that, I'm lost. I'll say 5 points.
5 points is incorrect. Marcus?
Let's see. I'll say 15 points.
15 is also incorrect. Tucker, you were so close. The answer is 6.
Mm. Yeah. A very drunk English gentleman once tried explaining snooker to me when I was just trying to watch the Patriots lose one Sunday afternoon at a bar, and I did not pick up any information from his spiel there.
Yeah, it's as I understand, it's pretty complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It may as well be Quidditch.
It doesn't seem like a good bar game. Like, the point of most bar games is you can play them when you're a little intoxicated. I feel like snooker, you can't. Because there's too many rules.
There's too many points. I can't keep track of that.
Yeah. And you get drunk enough you can't see colors anymore, and then you're
Whoa, what are you drinking and where can I get it?
Ask me about Geek Bowl 2018 sometime.
That completes there is I in team for Tucker. You got 4 out of 5 for 40 points. Very well done.
Marcus,
you have your choice between goats and shin and toe, but it's not about soccer.
Okay, so this is tough because I also can't remember which goats category was which, and it's not about soccer doesn't necessarily mean it's about something I know nothing about. I'm going to go with goats.
Goats. These are 5 questions over the newer meaning of the acronym goats, as in greatest of all time.
Oh, thank God.
Don't say that yet. Number one. In what year did Wayne Gretzky play as a St. Louis Blue?
I know that was very late, but as I didn't become a hockey fan until maybe probably 7 or 8 years ago, I'm going to say 2003.
2003 is incorrect. Tucker?
I've got it within a couple of years, but I don't know if I'm choosing the right one. I'm going to guess 1996.
Very well done for a 5-point rebound.
Nice.
1996. He was traded to St. Louis on my oldest daughter's 2nd birthday.
Oh.
So that was quite a day. Mm-hmm. And then he stayed for a whole 18 games, played the playoffs, and left.
Hmm.
Went to the stinking Rangers.
It's a hell of a rental.
Sorry, Brent.
It's not easy being a Blues fan. Number two, what man born in 1887 in modern-day Oklahoma was named the greatest athlete of the first half of the 20th century by the Associated Press?
I believe this is Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe is correct for 10 points. Number three, which goat only played for 2 teams in his entire career, Santos and the New York Cosmos?
You're right. I should not have celebrated this category. Oh, my gosh. I am going to challenge.
Tucker, you have been challenged.
Sorry, Marcus. It's Pele.
Pele is correct for 15 points.
I love how polite you guys are. You apologize for taking points from me.
Yeah, are you guys Canadian or something?
No, I don't live off maple syrup and apologies.
Moose meat.
Yeah.
Sorry, Marcus.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, eh? All my Canadian friends are going to give me shit now. Number four. We don't sound like that. Winning 48 Grand Slam titles in singles and doubles between 2002 and 2012. Esther Vergeer finished her career with 695 wins and 25 losses in what specific sport?
Well, I'm going to guess badminton.
Badminton is incorrect, Tucker.
Can you spell her name? I don't know if that would help or not, but it might.
Sure. It's Vergeer.
Vergeer. Singles and doubles. I feel like this must be a racket sport of some kind. Badminton definitely would have been my first guess, too. What's left? I'll say squash.
Squash is incorrect. The answer is wheelchair tennis.
Oh.
That one might be considered a little bit on the obscure side, Ryan.
What a jerk. I mean, hey, Ryan, thanks.
Good old Ryan. That's why we love him. Number five, Jeanette Lee and Allison Fisher are among the most successful women to have played what sport?
This is billiards.
It is billiards for 10 points.
Well done.
Moving on to the first intermission. Right now, Tucker has a score of 60. Marcus has 20. And the first intermission question is about TV sports shows. I'm going to list off four TV sports shows, and you need to tell me the primary host of each of those shows. Number one, Highly Questionable. Number two, Outside the Lines. Number three, Around the Horn since 2004. And number four, 2 Minute Drill. And while those guys think about those questions, we are going to play the same old promo once again. If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks. We are back with the first intermission question. The guys have their answers. Let's start with Marcus. Number one, Highly Questionable.
I have Dan Lebatard.
And Tucker?
I also have Dan Lebatard.
5 points to each of you. Very good. Number two, Tucker, Outside the Lines.
I believe this is ESPN legend Bob Lee.
And Marcus?
I also have Bob Lee.
Both of you are correct once again for 5 points. Number three, Around the Horn since 2004. Marcus?
Tony Reale.
And Tucker?
Yeah, I also have the stat boy, Tony Reale.
Tony Reale again is correct for 5 points apiece. And number four, Tucker, 2 Minute Drill.
I think this was Kenny Mayne.
Marcus?
Oh, that I think you're right, but I put down, I was thinking of Chris Berman running down the highlights quick. So
the answer is indeed Kenny Mayne. So Tucker, you picked up 5 points and you now stand at 80. Marcus, you have 35. That takes us to the second period and I turn it over to Aaron.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Sorry.
Hello.
Hello. This is great. Marcus, your categories are Stevie Wonder's Greatest Hits Volume 1, Where Everyone is a Champion, or Royals, but not the baseball kind.
Gosh. I know I'm probably going to regret this, but I do love Stevie Wonder, so I'll go Stevie Wonder's Greatest Hits Volume 1.
All right, these are 5 questions about blown calls.
Oh, okay.
Oh. I thought it was going to be about superstitions.
That's what I thought. I said superstition.
Oh, that's cool. Ryan, you got that? Write that one down. That's what volume two will be. Yeah. All right. Question number one. Name either the Saints receiver or the Rams cornerback who was involved in the pass interferences the refs didn't call during the 2019 NFC Championship game.
Oh, what are you talking about? He made a great call. I'm kidding. Holy, oh my gosh.
Put your torches and your forks down, people.
The corner was Nickel Roby Coleman.
That is correct. And the other guy was Tommy Lee Lewis. The receiver.
Loved him on The Fugitive.
I want you to search every outhouse warehouse.
To find that referee's whistle.
That was good. I thought Tommy Lee was here.
I'm so tired.
Number two, St. Louis Cardinals fans decided to take the high road and send death threats to what umpire in the 1985 World Series who had incorrectly called Kansas City Royals batter George Orta safe at first?
Well, this happened before I was born, so I'm probably not going to have a great guess, but I'm going to say Jim Joyce.
Jim Joyce is incorrect. Tucker for the rebound.
Speaking of umpires who famously blew big calls with Jim Joyce, by the way.
That's why I said it.
This is, I think his first name was Don. So Don Denkinger.
That is correct for 5 points.
Oh, I was in a hotel room in Arkansas when this happened. Not that I remember it or anything.
Ryan would like to note, it's not Denkinger's fault they lost. They managed to lose game 7, 11 to nothing. So probably not his fault. Yes. Number three. In 1990, what team managed to beat Missouri on a late game drive by somehow magically getting a fifth down because the down marker was never changed?
I believe it's Nebraska.
I believe that is incorrect.
Fudge.
Ooh, good catch.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, again, it's just, I think it's this team, but I don't really remember this or have any other way of knowing. Colorado?
Colorado is correct.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Number four, back to Marcus. In the third overtime of Game 6 of the 1999 Stanley Cup Final, what Dallas Stars forward scored a goal even though his skate was obviously in the crease?
This is what I always fear, hockey questions that aren't recent. Brett Hull.
Brett Hull is correct for 10 points.
Well done.
Yeah, that call sent the Sabres home with the bitterest of tastes in their mouths, according to Ryan and everybody.
So they have wide right and no goal.
if you really want to fire up a Sabres fan, just say, yo, his foot was in the crease, and then they come after you. It's fun.
Yeah. I don't want to mess with anybody in Buffalo because have you seen their fans at football games jumping off of campers through tables? No, thank you.
Oh, God, yeah, they're insane.
Like, that's,
I did a Buffalo fan for a hot second. Yeah, they are not messing around. It's great.
I went to college in North New York. It's kind of just all like that. Cities that are not doing well, followed by a lot more violence than you would expect.
And then you've got Boston, which burns the city whether they win or lose, which seems like a weird approach to me. But what do I know? Number five, Diego Maradona's infamous 1986 World Cup handball, called the Hand of God, ended up being decisive as Argentina defeated what team 2-1 in that game?
France.
France is incorrect. Tucker, do you know?
I don't know, but I have a guess, if only just because it seems like something that would happen to this team. Was it England?
It was England.
All right.
I don't know what's funnier, the fact that he reasoned in that manner or the fact that it was right.
I respect
They're
that.
Predictable.
Yeah. All right, Tucker, it is your choice. Your remaining categories are where everyone is a champion and Royals, but not the baseball kind.
I have a feeling I'm going to be unhappy with what the category is either way. Okay. I'll take where everybody is a champion.
All right. Well, I don't want to make you unhappy. These are five questions about the NFC East, the only NFL division where everyone has won a Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let's see how this goes. Number one, what team won the NFC East in 2018 going 10-6?
You'd think I would know this immediately, but now I've got to think a little bit.
You have four choices.
Yeah. Got well, a 25% really chance. It very clearly was not the Giants, so that makes it a 33% chance. And I know for sure it was also not the Skins, so we're at a 50-50 now. The Eagles must have ended up winning the division, right? I'll say them.
Oh, that's wrong.
Oh, right. Okay.
It is the Dallas Cowboys.
All it right. is the Dallas Cowboys. Yep, definitely not the Giants.
Yeah, not, number not two.
So bad. My friend's a Browns fan, and he keeps telling me he cannot wait to get his Beckham jersey. I'm like, you know, maybe, but you don't have to rub it in. Number two, what Canadian led Washington to a Super Bowl victory against the Bills in 1992 and earned MVP honors for that game?
Do I need his first name?
No.
Okay. I always confuse him with either his son or his nephew who played in the NHL for a hot sec. The last name is Rippin.
That is true. Do you want to take a stab at his first name?
This one's Mark Rippin?
Sure is.
Okay.
Good job. Yeah. Unless Ryan specifies, I don't usually make people give first names.
Okay.
I believe the NHL player was Ryan Rippin.
Oh.
Oh.
Was he not the guy who almost got in a fight with a fan in Minnesota?
Maybe. He might have been. I think he was a bit of a goon, which
yeah,
I
respect. And I think I have a feeling he's no longer with us as well. Oh. I think he was one of those enforcers. Mm-hmm. There was that one summer when three or four infamous enforcers passed away.
And it was around the same time that the KHL team had the plane crash too. So it was just a really bad year for
That was an awful year. Mm-hmm.
He passed away in August 2011.
Yep, and the plane crash was in September.
Yep. Hmm. Well, that's a
downer.
Yeah.
What a fun show. Played for Boise State. It's going in the NFL draft, so there's that.
Oh, that's right. There's another one.
Yeah. That's happy. Thanks, Marcus.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
Number three. Doing so in 1975, who is the most recent team to win the NFC East and not currently be in the NFC East as of 2019?
Ooh. 1975, you said?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So when I was a little kid, I guess, right before the Texans were added to the league, there was a fifth team in the NFC East, but I don't know if that was the only other team in the NFC East. Either way, that's the only guess I have. I'm going to say the Cardinals.
The Cardinals is correct.
All right.
Yay.
They're normally pretty bad, so I didn't think that was actually going to be right.
I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, they were always pretty bad, hence their location now in Arizona.
That's true. Number four. Who's the most recent defenseman to win NFL MVP from the NFC East?
Ooh, okay. Go team by team here, even though I think I have a guess. Yeah, I can't think of who else it would be besides Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor is correct. He did it in 1986. And number five, who has thrown the most 300-yard games for the Eagles, slinging 30 of them during his career?
Oh, that's a tough one. They've definitely had a few quarterbacks who have been there a long time. I'll guess the most recent one because of how the passing numbers have expanded. I'll say Donovan McNabb.
And Donovan McNabb is correct.
All right.
Nice job.
Thanks.
4 for 5. That brings us to the second intermission. Your second intermission question. I want you, all you got to do is name the six teams that have won exactly two World Series titles. And while these gentlemen name six baseball teams, here comes some ads.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Faceoff, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Faceoff group on Facebook.
And we're back, and these guys wrote down some baseball team names, I assume. Not always a foregone conclusion at my games, but I think you guys are probably going to be better. Let's start with Marcus. What six teams did you write down that have won the World Series exactly twice?
Exactly twice. Okay, so not very confident in any of this. Of you know, baseball's kind of one of my weaker areas. So I said the Blue Jays, the Angels, the Mets, the Athletics, the Royals, and the Twins.
All right. And Tucker, what did you say?
All right. We had a little bit of overlap on these answers. I said the Blue Jays, the Royals, the Mets, and also the now Miami Marlins, the Chicago White Sox, and one that might have won three, the Cleveland Indians.
Your answers are in 1969 and 1986, the New York Mets. In 1985 and 2015, the Kansas City Royals. 1992 and 1993, the Toronto Blue Jays. In 1980 and 2008, the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh my gosh. Cross that one out. No.
Oh, no. In 1920 and 1948, the Cleveland Indians. And in 1997 and 2003, the Miami Marlins.
So the White Sox won three then. Okay.
Apparently, yeah. Interestingly, and I learned this at a triviality event last week, the Marlins are, I believe, the only team. Oh, shit. Something made that special. Like, they made it as a wild card. It's the only time they've made the playoffs and they won the World Series, is what it was, I think.
Yeah. They're also the only team to ever win the World Series and then trade away the entire team for literally nothing. Twice.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, literally twice. You know, just Miguel Cabrera, you know, whatever. He's okay.
That is far more devious.
That's what you do whenever you finish building a house the first day. You burn it back down.
Yeah. My favorite thing is when they traded for Mike Piazza in the middle of his prime and then later that week decided to trade him again.
I got to see in St. Louis one of the rare games that Mike Piazza played for the Marlins.
That's amazing.
All right, after the second intermission, the score is Tucker 156, Marcus 75, but he can make that up in the third period. Back to you, Brent.
All right, the third period, Marcus, you have your choice between Man, I Am So High Right Now, Dude, I'm Like a Mile High Right Now, or Miscellaneous.
Curveball.
That's more of a slider, I think. It was way too fast for a curveball.
Because I possibly think I know what it is, I'm going to go with, Dude, I'm Mile High Right Now.
But you have to answer all the questions like that.
Like that. Oh, man.
If you need a second to do anything that you need to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to finish my drink real quick. Hold on.
No, yeah. Wasn't what I was thinking, but okay. Dude, I'm like a mile high right now. These are five questions about sports in Denver.
Ooh.
Number one, also the nicknames of the teams that play for Lewis and Clark, Smith, and Utica College. What is the nickname of the sports teams at the University of Denver?
Oh, no. Okay. The Pioneers.
Pioneers is correct for 10 points.
Well done.
Number two, what running back ran for over 1,500 yards in his first two seasons with the Denver Broncos before being moved to Washington, where he ran for nearly 7,000 more yards through the end of his career in 2010?
The owner of some of the craziest post-game outfits. This is Clinton Portis.
Clinton Portis is correct again.
That guy had great suits.
He had alter egos for that he would answer questions as, and he'd wear like wigs and glasses and all sorts of stuff.
Number three, what Serbian man is the current captain for the Denver Nuggets?
Nikola Jokic.
I'm glad you said it so I didn't have to. That is correct for 10 points. I didn't know if it was Jokic, Jokic.
Novak Djokovic.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to Djokovic?
Yeah.
Call back.
That joke holds up.
It does. Anytime I see tennis highlights and it's him, I can't help but say it in my head.
Ugh. Number four, who is the only Colorado Rocky to have won the National League Most Valuable Player Award?
There's a couple names that are going through my head. Troy Tulowitzki.
Troy Tulowitzki's incorrect. Tucker?
I have a feeling this is one of the other names you were thinking of. Larry Walker.
Larry Walker is the correct answer. He won it in 1997.
Yep. That was the other name, but I know Tony Gwynn and him were battling for, they were both around 400 a couple times, and I just wasn't sure if he beat out Gwynn, but okay.
It was honestly kind of a fluke that he won it at all. The writers at the time just hated every Rocky and would never vote for them, but then Walker led the league in every category. So
yeah, exactly.
It would look bad if they didn't.
Right.
Well, not that they're all crotchety old men or anything.
Yeah.
Took them until his last year. Took him until their last year to vote the greatest designated hitter of all time in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And I'll fight any Boston fan that wants to say David Ortiz is better than Edgar Martinez. You're a trash person and you're a liar.
All right.
Sorry. I'll fight any Boston fan too. Really, yeah, for any reason, but I can get on board with that.
You know what? You know what, Boston? Me and Tucker, we're coming for you. So get ready.
I just dropped the mic. I hope it didn't get picked up.
No, I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Anyways, not that I'm mad about it.
No, not that you're bitter or that you hold grudges or anything like that.
I'm very reasoned about it all.
I mean, the designated hitter of the year award's named after him. I mean, but he's not the greatest, whatever.
Ugh. It's like saying Cy Young wasn't a very good pitcher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Number 5. Who is the current general manager of the Colorado Avalanche?
Because I know at one point he played for the Avalanche, I will say Ray Bourque.
Ray Bourque is incorrect. Tucker?
Your instincts are right, because they're like all former NHL All-Stars now, like all the GMs, for no real reason.
Yeah.
As for which one is currently the GM, I've got a 50-50 between him and one other guy, Joe Sakic.
Joe Sakic is the right one. He was a former player, won 2 cups with him, and the 2001 Hart Trophy for MVP. Joe Sakic's correct.
Nice.
It's a name I should
thought it was
remember.
Either him or Patrick Waugh, because they're both cycling in and out of front offices and benches now. And
Yeah, Patrick Waugh was coach. I think he won Coach of the Year with the Avalanche a number of years ago when they either won the division or came close to winning the division. But then his inner psychopath came back out, and he was fired.
His goalie gave up 8 goals, and he marched into the GM's office and demanded to be traded.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is a deep cut, and I love it.
I love French-Canadian goalies. They're so fiery and passionate.
That's right. Tucker, we are to you. You have to choose between Man, I Am So High Right Now or Miscellaneous.
One of these really scares me a lot, so I will go with the one that seems less scary. Man, I Am So High Right Now.
These are 5 questions about athletes and their drug use.
Aww.
Okay. Could be worse.
Number 1. In regards to baseball's massive steroid scandal of the early 2000s, what does BALCO stand for? BALCO.
Oh, man. Oh, I know it well. I don't know what it actually stands for. It's a Bay Area Laboratory Organization, or Laboratory Collection Organization.
That is incorrect, Marcus.
Wow. I have no idea, but I am going to say Big Ass Lumbering Chump Organization.
Boy, that's wrong, but it should be right.
Yeah. Pretty close.
Yeah. Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative.
Cooperative.
Number 2. In 2014... what UFC fighter became the first person to ever take Daniel Cormier down, doing so 3 times that match, though it was later revealed that he failed a drug test that tested positive for cocaine a month prior to the fight?
Yeah, this made me mad because Cormier is such a trash talker. John Jones.
John Bones Jones is the correct answer for 10 points. Number 3. For once again violating the league's substance abuse policy, what New England Patriot was suspended indefinitely by the NFL in December 2018?
I can't challenge because Marcus has been getting all the football ones right.
You can't. Gotta
come up. I don't think it would benefit me. I guess I could.
I mean, you could.
Sure, I could think of a reasonable guess here. I hope you don't make me choose which one because, again, I can never keep these 2 straight. Bennett.
Bennett is incorrect. Ah. Marcus?
You were right not to challenge. I, you know, I just wanted to try and give you some encouragement.
Yeah.
I really hope he gets help because, man, it's so frustrating to watch a guy that talented continue to do this. But Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon is correct for a 5-point rebound. Very nicely done.
Totally forgot he was on the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. You just think of him as a Brown because that's, yeah.
And I don't think of him as a Patriot because I don't hate him.
Exactly.
I'm just shocked that a member of the New England Patriot organization would do something that might be outside the rules.
No.
Yeah, especially never. That chump Julian Edelman. Ugh. He's like a walking beard. I hate him.
He popped up on Learned League yesterday, I think, and I didn't remember his name right away. I'm like, I remember that everyone was angry that he won MVP, and I remember everything about him. I eventually got there, but I was scared I was going to have to eat that.
That guy's like the human equivalent of Barstool Sports, isn't he?
Yes.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Harsh.
Just so you know, just so you know, the title of this episode will be "He's a Walking Beard." Number four. Within 1 year either direction, what year saw a photograph of Michael Phelps using a bong at a party at the University of South Carolina go viral, causing him to lose his Kellogg sponsorship and receive a suspension from USA Swimming?
Shoot. I'm pretty sure I was in high school when this happened because what better time to be in high school than when the most famous athlete in the country gets suspended for a bunch of bong pictures. So with that in mind, I'll say 2009.
2009 is right on the money. Ooh, well done.
Right. I mean, hey, you can't prove that he was actually smoking it, guys. He could have just been, posing for photos.
He just popped. He didn't inhale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know how it is.
Even from the present.
Yeah.
So a buddy of mine went to Michigan, right? He went to Michigan, not Michigan State.
I don't
Nobody
know.
Knows. So a buddy of mine went to the same school that Michael Phelps did and is a couple years younger than him and was at a party right after this news broke. And he was like, so irresponsible. Like, what was he thinking? Professional athlete, this was really dumb. He didn't know that he was at a party at the swim and dive house. And he's like, why are you guys all looking like that? Like, because Michael Vick is standing right behind you. I'm sorry, Michael Phelps is standing right behind you. That would have been a totally different story.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was like, where's this story going?
Sorry. That was a very strange callback. Orange cat's chewing on my headphone cable and I'm distracted. But yeah, Michael Phelps was standing right behind him. My buddy turned around and was like, you heard me. So that was kind of cool. Or that's the way he tells the story. And I like to believe that's the way it went. He didn't have to try and run away, which is what I would have done. And then my mother, I forget where she was that she met Michael Phelps. She was a golf thing or something. My parents are big into golf. She met him and she apparently told him she didn't recognize him, so he should take his shirt off so she'd know who he was.
Nice. Pretty smooth.
She told me everything I know.
So that's going to be your line when you meet Brooks Koepka, right?
Yep.
No, you're going to say turn around. You don't recognize
him. I need you to stand up on your toes and
I dropped this penny on the ground. Can you grab it for me?
Number five. What gold medal winning track star and boyfriend to Marion Jones had his medal stripped after he was discovered using PEDs and, in 2008, was arrested for pushing over 100 grams of heroin in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia?
A Virginia question. Finally, something related to my hometown. I remember this guy's first name. I do not remember his last name right now. So I got to think this through. Was his last name Henry? I'll go with Henry.
Henry is incorrect, Marcus.
So many sprinters, so many steroids.
So little time.
Yeah. It's almost as though they make you go faster.
Yeah, weird. Or you're 6'5 and have strides that nobody else in this world ever will have again. I'll say Gatlin.
Gatlin is incorrect. The answer is Tim Montgomery.
Oh, that's not who I was thinking of, so I don't feel that bad anymore.
That's always such a relief. Like, yeah. Oh, I was wrong, but I wasn't as close to being right as I could have been.
Yeah, it's like I just wasn't aware of that. That's fine. Blissful ignorance.
After the third period, Tucker has a 186 to 110 lead on Marcus, but there is the shootout coming up that could potentially be worth 150 points. And we will turn that over to Aaron after we hear the rules.
In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
Number one, the weight in pounds that Hussein Rezazadeh, I'm going to spell that, R-E-Z-A-Z-A-D-E-H, lifted in the clean and jerk at the Olympics in 2004, which remains the record to this day. Number two, the total number of points scored in the highest scoring NBA game in history. And number three, as per 2018 information from Forbes magazine, the estimated value in U.S. dollars of the Arsenal Football Club.
Boo.
Yeah, that's fair. While they do these numbers, here is another ad.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
All right, the weight in pounds that that gentleman lifted in the clean and jerk at the Olympics in 2004 is still a world record. Tucker, how many pounds was that?
I said 750 pounds. I think this is normally given in kilograms because it's Olympics, and also I don't follow weightlifting to the point where like I just kind of go to the gym and see what feels right and then lift that without noticing the numbers. So 750 sounded properly big enough without being like oh my god, no human could possibly lift that amount of pounds.
Okay. Marcus, your reasoning. Your answer.
I put 426 because I do know a little bit about weightlifting, and I believe clean and jerk is, maybe I'm thinking of clean and snatch. Anyways, I believe you do have to lift it up and over your head, so that's why I arrived at 426. I just figured that was a large amount of weight that, you know, some gigantic man can lift over his head. So.
Right. So I've actually competed in Olympic weightlifting. The clean and jerk is a clean is the ground to shoulder and the jerk is shoulder to overhead. A snatch is one movement, ground to overhead.
That's what, okay.
It's a lot more complicated, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I cannot lift any of these numbers that you guys said, but the correct answer is 580 pounds, which is 236 kilograms, which is nuts, by the way. Marcus was off by 154. Tucker was off by 170. So that's not right. Oh, yeah, it is. Sorry. In the other direction. I'm tired. Marcus was off by 154. Tucker was off by 170. So Marcus takes the first question in the shootout. Number two, the total number of points scored in the highest scoring NBA game in history. Marcus, what was your answer?
I put 341.
All right.
You know, you see some of those old scores, especially when you like see a Wilt Chamberlain score 100. It was like 160 to 140 something. So I figured it was probably up in the 180s. So, or at least one team was. So yeah, 341.
Cool. And Tucker, what was your answer?
So I was thinking that this was probably like a game with a couple overtimes, maybe in the Showtime era where the teams were routinely scoring all the time and frequently because nobody knew how to play defense in the 1980s. So I ended up going with 388, thinking that I don't remember a team ever reaching 200, but I think it's gotten pretty close after a couple overtimes.
All right. You reasoned it out very well. The high scoring regular season game was a triple overtime game between the Detroit Pistons and the Denver Nuggets. It was December 13th, 1983. The Pistons defeated the Nuggets 186 to 184 for a combined score of 370 points. So you guys were both within 10%. Nice job. Marcus, you were 29 off. Tucker, you were only 18 off. So we are tied up going into question number three. Tucker, let's start with you. How much is Arsenal worth?
Well, it depends on who you ask, because some would say nothing. but if we're talking about the Forbes dollar value or whatever it might be, these teams, especially like the big powers in Europe, are so expensive and rich these days. I went with 1.5 billion.
All right. Billion with a B. And Marcus, what did you say?
I've seen these lists, but because it's soccer, I didn't remember, like, you know, but you know, obviously soccer is huge. So I assume most of these big clubs are over the billion mark. So I went with 1.3 billion.
All right. According to Forbes, as per 2018, Arsenal was worth 1.29 billion with the B dollars.
Wow.
Marcus is off by a piddling 10 million.
Yeah. Normally when you're off by 10 million, that's a lot. In this case, that's a really, really, really good guess.
I thought about doing something weird too and being like 1.314, but I was like, no, I'm just going to go 1.3, call it good.
Yeah. So yeah, you're within 10%. It doesn't matter, but it is worth noting. Marcus picks up 20 points for winning the shootout. Final score, it was not enough, unfortunately. Marcus 130, Tucker 186. Nice job to you both.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
That was an excellent game.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Very close game. You guys are both very knowledgeable.
Not about hockey. Yeah. I got some hockey questions. Man.
And for me, it's only sports. So this is my one place where I can be told that I'm very knowledgeable.
Same
Thanks,
here,
guys.
Man. Same here. I've been on Trivial Warfare, and I got to tell you, I was next to worthless. Because unless it's pop culture or sports or nerdy stuff like superheroes, I am... I don't have any knowledge.
See, and that's where I think the four of us would make a good team, because Aaron and I are both short on pop culture stuff.
Absolutely,
I think.
Yeah. Every trivia team needs a sports guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a pop culture guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm the color guy, which is not super useful on most sports team or trivia teams.
Yeah, but you're fun to be around.
Yeah, you got to have somebody to get hammered. That's also me. That's also me.
Yeah, every trivia team needs an enforcer, I think. I was wanting to rough up the other teams if they're getting a little too, you know, physical.
There you go.
Geek Bowl next year. It's in Chicago. I'm sure there'll be someone looking for an enforcer.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. That was an awesome game and good conversation throughout. That was just a lot of fun. Tucker, do you have anything you'd like to say in closing?
Not much. I had a lot of fun doing this. I'd love to eventually do it again someday. In the meantime, thanks, Marcus, for a great game. Thanks, Brent and Aaron and Ryan, for the questions. And yeah, happy to be here.
And Marcus.
Yeah, I'm glad we figured out the technical issues. So hopefully you'll have me again going forward. But yeah, this is always a lot of fun. And thanks to Brent and Aaron and even Ryan, even though sometimes I really don't like him and his questions.
Everyone has mixed feelings about him. It's okay.
No, it's all it's all coming from a place of love. If I call you and it's because I like you. So, thank you guys. And can't wait to come back on.
All righty. Thank you both very much. For Tucker, Marcus, and Aaron, I am Brent, and we will see you next time you download. This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer and Aaron Barkley. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers, and the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer.
Stevie Wonder's Greatest Hits, Volume 1, Royals, but not the baseball kind, or...
Uh-oh.
Yep.
I just see what I did.
Cool.
We are going to have to take a little bit of time out here.
your third category was about to be Royals, but not the baseball kind.
Oh.
Oh, I was in a hotel room in Arkansas when this happened. Not that I remember it or anything.
And for flavor text, it's not Denkinger's fault you lost. You guys managed to lose the game. Oh.
That's what we all said.
In the shootout, here are your three questions. Number one, the weight in pounds that, God damn it, Ryan, hold on.